Hello, everybody. It's Julie with Hephzibah Talks a Lot, and it's really interesting. I was going through some of my old things, and I had created a newsletter a while back for Inspired Radiance, which is a women's ministry that I launched online that went nowhere. I ended up making two newsletters, ultimately, because creating a newsletter and coming up with content by yourself is extremely difficult. So in the future, should God have that in my future, I will either be doing a newsletter only once a month, because my goal is to have this newsletter be more active than that, or maybe start it once a month and then move on to more. Even once a month, I think it's too long. It'd probably have to be quarterly. It's a lot of work to make a newsletter. And I think we don't appreciate that when our church puts out a newsletter or someone else does. And I've always tried, because I'm a writer, so I've tried many different times to have a newsletter exist. And one of the most painful for me, which I don't even know, I just thought of it randomly, but I was part of the employee benefit committee at the city of Santa Fe when I worked there toward the end of my time there. And we were putting out a newsletter, and I was basically doing the work on it, and then I'd have people like contribute articles or poetry or whatever. And it was starting to get there. It was starting to do well. And then we did like a feedback thing. I don't know why. And the newsletter had gone out a few times. And I think the one that hurt me the most was when someone wrote that it was a waste of time and they can't believe that someone was wasting their time on it. And I was like, in my brain, I was like, that's so hurtful. You know what I mean? People can be mean. But that's not the point of this podcast segment. This podcast segment is going to be very short, because all I wanted to do was share a poem that I had put in the second and last Inspired Radiance newsletter, because it's one of my favorite poems. There's just something about it. And I have a few poems I've written, and I should probably do a, I might do a podcast on my poetry. I don't know. I don't read very well aloud. I read well, but when I read, I sound like I'm reading. I can't talk with the freedom that I do right now. But I might, I'll try with this. But I have to say that this poem is just one of my favorites, because I believe it's one of the poems that God wrote through me. So I'm gonna share a few poems. This first one is gonna be the one from the newsletter. And once again, this wasn't the point of this podcast, but now it is. Because when I was thinking about it, I'm like, there are poems. There's poems I really like that I've written, and there's poems that people have liked, and I'm like, what are you talking about? That's like not the best poem. So I'm going to share a few. I'm not going to take a long time. I'm going to hope to keep this at about a half hour. And if you listen to the whole thing, thank you so much. I just want to say, and this is not going to count in the half hour, by the way, talking about my poetry, because this is just rambling Julie, and it happens. But I just want to say, as a writer, it is so, and I've said this before, but it is so difficult to get people to take the time to invest in what you write. And when you become a published author and then you become a best-selling author, I mean, I can't even imagine what that feels like. Because that means people actually invest in your world. And I mean, when it comes to like photography, which is something else I dabble in, when it comes to painting, people can invest, but usually they can invest like a minute, you know? And then they can buy your art because they know that they can walk by it in their living room and look at it. They don't have to be willing to sit down and spend hours or block out time to enjoy what you can do. But with writing, and along with acting, acting's a little more easy, but not like to do. So don't read that wrong, because acting is not easy to do. I just mean more easy to invest, because you can turn that on and invest a little bit easier than actually actively reading a book or reading a piece that someone wrote. So anybody that's willing to, and right now you're not even reading, but you're still willing to listen. So I'm gonna be so grateful if you've listened to the whole thing. And I would love to hear your thoughts. htal.podcast@gmail.com. I would really love to hear what you think of my poetry. Just be kind. I acknowledge I'm a writer, and I don't have any false feelings about that. I know I can write. It's a natural thing to me. Like, when people tell me they have trouble writing, I'm just like, that's pretty easy. But I also give them the benefit of the doubt. Because when I came to realize that writing is my gift and my talent, and some people just can't do it, just like I can't act, right? I can do. I just believe everyone can write. It just is harder for some people than others. And I would love for people to write. I think writing is amazing. But moving on. Thank you so much for investing in this. And I'd really love to hear from people. So I really hope that you are willing to email me what you thought of my poetry. If you are a writer yourself, you can send me one or two things and I'll read it. Just try not to make it really dark or perverse stuff, because I don't tend to do that. And I could try to read it, but I don't know how far I'd get. But yeah, so I'm going to do the poetry, each poetry reading with a different segment, so that I can put music in it. But here we go. We're going to start with my favorite poem, and I'm going to try to, or I should say one of my favorite poems. I'm going to try to briefly explain it before I read it. But at the same time, I don't want this podcast to go too long, so I'm gonna try to be very picky and careful. So here we go. So the first poem I'm gonna read is, like I said, one of my favorites, and there's something about taking these two fictional characters and just comparing their lives, because it was just. From one day, I was just looking at these two characters, and I was, and this poem just flowed out of me just looking at the two of them one day randomly. And I think that's why I like this poem so much. So here we go. The poem is called Don't Mistake Dorothy for Alice in Wonderland. Don't mistake Dorothy for Alice in Wonderland. They are two different women penned by a different hand. They didn't have the same journeys or families or friends. Their lives didn't have the same beginnings, middles, or ends. Don't mistake Dorothy for Alice in Wonderland. Don't bother trying to compare their names in the sand. Don't send the white rabbit to Kansas with Toto, or Auntie M to meet the caterpillar where mushrooms grow. Don't mistake Dorothy for Alice in Wonderland. There is too much at stake to be so bland. One walked the golden road in Ruby's shoes, with men of straw, tin, and fur. Another discovered impossibilities were in fact possible and do occur. Don't mistake Dorothy for Alice in Wonderland. Don't mistake their dreams and truths and fears and things planned. Don't confuse the paths they walked, the people they met, the words they spoke. Don't forget that both were dreaming and both, in fact, awoke. Don't mistake Dorothy for Alice in Wonderland. I am sorry to repeat myself, but I just don't want you to misunderstand. Though both wore blue dresses, one had black hair and one had blonde. One met a Mad Hatter, a Cheshire Cat, and a Red Queen, of whom none were too fond. Don't mistake Dorothy for Alice in Wonderland, and don't waste time dreaming about living life in a fairyland. Choose this day to have a heart, a brain, and courage to spare. To believe in the impossible, to firmly stand your ground, and not be caught unaware. Don't mistake Dorothy for Alice in Wonderland. Don't compare the life you've been given to another's God has planned. You are you, and they are they, so do not compare and do not fret. God has great plans and hopes and dreams for you. Of that, you can surely bet. So this poem is the one that when I showed it to other Christians, they loved it compared to the poem that comes after this one I'm going to read, that they just kind of shrugged at. And what's interesting is this poem I was kind of like, whatever about. And the other poem, I was like, this is the best poem I've ever written. This is probably in the late 90s, early 2000s when I wrote these two poems. So this first one is entitled, I Believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he will never leave us, and that we stand where demons won't trod. I believe he died and rose again. I believe he paid for us all. I believe we are free from sin, and that with him we can stand tall. I believe he is here now, standing in our midst. When our human forms bow and we pray, we are not missed. What do you believe, my friend, when you reach forever? And before his throne, your knees bend, will he be your judge or your savior? So that's the poem that people really, really liked. And I thought, I mean, they might like it because it's simple. I don't know. But I got a lot of positive feedback from that poem. And then this other poem, which was my favorite, this is right after I'd been saved. I wrote these poems right after I'd been saved as a child. Don't get me wrong. I was a Christian my whole life. But when I went into high school, I actively, fully began living for Christ. And that's when I wrote these poems, was shortly after I became a Pentecostal Christian. So, so there's that one. And then the second poem is more detailed. And I wrote them on the same day. But people like this one better. So the second poem was called Touching a Life. The setting sun shadowed a crippled old tree, alone on the desert plain, alone except for me. Perched upon this lonely branch, I searched the vast sky for a companion or friend who is not afraid to try. I heard a booming voice, loud and proud, from out of the heavens, there came a large white cloud. I know this may be hard to believe, but from where I stand, I promise you from my soul, that cloud became a hand. It reached down and touched my badly wounded wing. Then I heard a soft voice say, I love you, and I am king. Now today I'll tell you who touched my wing and life that day. I hope that he will touch you too in his very special way. Jesus Christ healed my wing. He also healed my heart. And from now until forever, I know we'll never be apart. So this poem is very long, and it isn't necessarily a poem. It's more prose. It doesn't necessarily rhyme. It may have moments when it does. This poem was inspired by Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, and it's about the woman with the alabaster box. And I had a very different understanding of Mary Magdalene. I had a very different understanding of the alabaster box, because I've learned that there were possibly two different times that women anointed Jesus with perfume. I did some research. If you listen to my blog about Mary Magdalene, you'll see that I learned quite a bit. But anyway, this was written in August 30th of 2007. I wrote this, and the reason this is so powerful to me is because it's the journey of the woman and her brokenness. And like I said, it's not necessarily poetry, it's more prose. But not necessarily a talent show at church, but we had a time of sharing our gifts, and I did a song, and I can't sing well, and I did this poem, and I had a lot of people approach me about the poem. Not about the song, but about the poem. So the poem is, I kneel at the feet of my Jesus. Walking down the dusty street, feeling their eyes, the judgment they offer with no moment of rest. I try to ignore the pain that courses through me. I carry my treasure, my prize, the one item of value in my life. I know my worth and lack thereof. I know how I'm viewed and where I'm left. I know that I am behind, my veil long since removed. I know that all see through me, refuse to see the woman beneath, but not him. I know that my failures shine brightly in his light, but the light is not harsh, nor is the brightness painful to my soul. I know that my loss is viewed blindly by all, though they do not admit that they see only vice and sin. I know that I've fallen like an angel from grace. Realize that I have never been an angel, and grace is foreign to me. I know that I've forsaken the gift placed in my hands, though I did not realize its worth until I had sold it so cheaply. It matters not to him. I feel the weight of my sins, as heavy as the alabaster in my hands, and I take a steadying breath before I rush through the doors. I stand behind him and weep, tears of love and wonder and loss, tears that hurt my soul and cleanse my heart, and peace overflows at his nearness. I kneel at the feet of him. I weep and break my offering, precious ointment poured forth, mixing with my tears as I caress his feet. I use my hair to rub the oil into his skin. My most precious gift I pour onto him, yet it feels as though it's not enough. Will never be enough for the one who saw me. Not a woman of lost worth and forsaken promise, but as one valuable to him. The kindness that fills his eyes when he spoke, the way he looked at me every time he saw me, the touch of his gentle hand as he comforted me, the soothing flow of his voice as he spoke to me. All these things make up the wonder that he is. As I weep at his feet and I wipe up tears and ointment, mingling to create a fragrance worth far more than before, is it possible that its worth increased solely due to the goodness within him? They speak to him, and I know their words are of me. I listen only to the song rising softly in my soul. I listen only to the breathing of him as I weep deeply. For I have felt a touch light as a butterfly upon my heart, and my breathing is uneven, my heartbeat rapid and strange. Is this love? Is this how it feels to belong to him? How can I be worthy of his love? I know not, but I worship. Simply, unashamed and unrestrained, I pour out the oil and tears, longing to honor him. He speaks and is so gentle in his way, ministering to Simon. I listen to the softness of the man who is so strong and fierce, whose love is poured out with every movement and word. Upon those who listen, those who sit at his feet and are still, my tears have slowed as I kiss the feet of the man that holds my heart. Though I know I am unworthy, I do not feel that he looks at me as such. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace, he says. I weep and cling to the one that has lifted the heavy burden from me. I weep and cling to him. Even as the life of my past rises up to meet me, I am assured by his promise. For I know that he is more than even I could ever understand mortally. And someday I will be able to see him once more, face to face, and worship him boldly with praises while I stand surrounded by his grace. Could it be that he has loved me all along, long before I laid eyes upon him? Could it be that he has chosen me among the others to bring his glory to light? Could it be that he found my simple offering worthy enough to honor him? Could it be that he sees a beauty within me that I have long believed past? Could it be that I belong to him? Through my ointment poured forth, I worshiped him, the one who loves. Through my praise uttered in tears, I honored him, the one who saves. Through my joy, I told others all about him, the one that delivers all people. Through my darkness, I ran to him and found the light that never goes out. I pour forth my ointment to you, my love, all the days of my life. I shout my praise in tears and in gladness, my beloved, with all my heart. I tell others about you and your love, my shepherd, unashamed and unrestrained. I stand in your light and rejoice, my golden one, always without fear or doubt. I kneel at the feet of my Jesus. Saved me, forgave me, and now I believe I belong to the King of Kings. Okay, so I'm going to share two more poems. And so I'm going to warn you now, after this poem, the next poem is a very dark poem. And I'll explain about that one before I read it. But I just want to warn you, so if you're not into dark poetry, you might want to stop listening after this poem. So this poem that I'm going to do now is another poem I really like. It's another one of my favorites. And in my online poetry album, which I'll try to include the link in the description, I have 200 some poems. So for me to whittle it down to like five, that's pretty good. I want to read so many more, but I'm trying to pick the ones that are my absolute favorites. So this one is my favorite because I used a thesaurus to look up different ways to say the same thing. And then I flipped the poem at the end. So with the same premise, I used a thesaurus to find different ways to say the same thing, but with a different feel. So I hope you like it. I wrote this on May 3rd of 2006, and it's one of my favorites. So I hope you enjoy it. The name of this poem is "And I Love Him." Oh, the sun-swept, dry land of my soul, how long and wearying is your plight. All pieces drifting apart, never whole, the darkness gathering within as night. With shadows dark and holding strong, the stillness of this barren land of mine, in the harsh, burning waste of wrong, longing always for the deep, cold brine. Oh, the sun-dried, bleak realm of my spirit, crushed beneath the weight of my iniquity, avoidable vices distilled to nothing more than habit, does that now not excuse my immorality? Crying out for peace among the rushes of death, throes of suffering holding me in its dominant sway, whispered penance taking away even stolen breath, while borrowed time rapidly falls away. Oh, the sun-baked, arid valley of my essence, why shadow me in the darkness of my past? Why cover me in your horrid, unending decadence, shirking the way that would free me at last? Holding tight to the twisted staff of evasion, an offering of help from sin's vulgarity, hands slippery from the blood of the abrasion, received from the stumble, the fall, a non-rarity. Please. Oh, the rain-drenched, lit land of my soul, how wonderful to see the goodness again. Though the pieces mended together to be whole, had nothing to do with me, the person within. In the light-shrouded world of forgiveness and peace, I rise to meet him in the skies once more. For his touch alone caused the pain to cease, his mercy bringing me to love's door. Oh, the rain-soaked, glowing realm of my spirit, soaking up his benevolence and devotion in great billows. Why so long did I linger, lost in fierce habit, when he held his hand nearer, nearer to remove all woes? Can it be that he is mine forever and a day? Always, longer than time, his love never ending. Can it be that I no longer have reason to run away? His arms welcome me with a tender ardor, forgiving. Oh, the rain-saturated, radiant valley of my essence. Words cannot express the compassion he possesses. Joy within me swells and grows as I stand in his presence. Though I should be last of all to receive pardon, I still transgress. Yet he holds me close and calls me friend. He loves me like no other. Smothers guilt and removes the tears that fall when I remember. His blood alone can wash me clean and my transgressions cover. He is my master and my truest friend. Yes, he died to be my savior. And I love him. All right, so the last poem I'm going to share is the Dark poem. And this is still one of my favorite poems. I wrote this in high school, and I'm going to read the little note I put at the bottom. I wrote this note on October 11th, 2018. I wrote this poem in 1995. So this poem was written when I was in high school and living with my father. It was written around 1995 on the same day I wrote the poem untitled 1995. Interestingly enough, I loved and still love both these poems. However, whenever people read this poem, they ask me if I had ever been raped or molested. Truly, as a sophomore in high school, these were the first dark poems I had written in my life. I was so proud of them. I showed them to so many people, including my dad. I will say that although I had experienced some trauma in my young life in regards to my parents divorcing, seeing domestic violence, experiencing abuse, and being invisible at times to my parents, it makes sense that my mind would find darkness. But rest assured, I was never molested or raped. And if this poem brings any dark remembrances of such painful things to your mind, I am sorry, and I pray that you will find peace and healing. So that's what I had written at the bottom of this poem. And I probably should have put that at the top, because people have already read it and gotten to that point. I've already traumatized them. So that is another warning for you. This poem I wrote when I was depressed as a teenager. However, I have had people, when they've read it, ask me if there's something I need to talk about in regards to molestation and abuse, and if there's anything I need help with. So if you've experienced anything like that and you have any kind of stress, trauma from that, you might want to stop listening. I honestly can't tell you. In this poem, at the end, she's been killed by a home invader. Guys, I don't know where my brain was when I wrote this, but I'm just saying, this is where it was. The point of this dream was she's dead at the end. And so is her father. And like I said, I was a sophomore. I was 15, 16 years old when I wrote this. But it's still one of my favorite poems, and I don't know why. There's just something about it, and it's all in lowercase. The only parts that, obviously, that are in uppercase is the word I. But everything, this whole poem is written in lowercase, and that's on purpose. There's no uppercase. It's 4 lines per grouping. I don't know what else to tell you, but I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Once again, I've warned you. It is a dark poem, and it could trigger something. So I pray that it doesn't. But yes, here we go. The poem is called Touch Me Not, Leave Me Be. Last night I heard it. A half-burned candle I had lit, blown out by a gust of wind, signaling the story's end. Trembling beneath my robes with fear, listening with a hand-cupped ear for anything that would show where my guest had decided to go. Wishing he would disappear, sweat appears like a tear. Touch me not, leave me be. Leave me, for I cannot see. Slip out quietly as you came in. Free yourself from nightly sin. Daddy, daddy, help me please. If I stand, I will fall to my knees. I cannot run, nor hide, nor play. Just wait for night to fade away. Trembling here alone, afraid, wishing the man hadn't stayed. Too old to cry, too scared to shout, mentally searching for a way out. Touch me not, leave me be. How I long to run away from thee. Depart from the side of my bed. Take these nightmares from my head. Your breath I hear, I feel. My very own breath you steal. I cannot breathe, oh help me. Daddy, daddy, where can you be? Hide me from this beast, whom I say I love the least. Touch me not, leave me be. What do you want from me? Darkness cloaks your face, I fear, but your breathing I still hear. Daddy, daddy, where are you? Oh, daddy, if you only knew. Come and help me, save me, please. Come to me so that this man flees. I cannot breathe, I cannot scream. Is this just a horrid dream? Awaken me if it is true. What is it he is going to do? Touch me not, leave me be. Leave me, for I cannot see. Slip out quietly as you came in. Free yourself from nightly sin. Daddy, daddy, help me, please. If I stand, I will fall to my knees. I cannot run, nor hide, nor play. Just wait for night to fade away. He has pulled me from my bed and is dragging me along. And deep inside my head, I hear the farewell song. Daddy, I want to scream. Daddy, wake me from this dream. But daddy's dead and so am I. What a lovely way to die. All right, so those are a few of my favorite poems. Like I said, I will put the link to my online poetry book in the comments. I hope you enjoyed these. And if you listened to the last one, as I was reading through it, I was like, oh, okay, I could see why they would think it was something like that. It definitely does have a sound to it of like being someone coming into your room constantly at night. That wasn't happening and never did. And when I wrote it, I wasn't fearful of that. I think the biggest thing is that I was just feeling really alone as a teenager, and I was struggling with, like I said, some of the things that I faced as a kid and the residuals of that. But I hope you enjoyed the poetry. I hope you really liked the light poetry. I'd love to hear your thoughts. So please email me at htal.podcast@gmail.com. And thank you for supporting my podcast.